Well, greetings, all of our Facebook and YouTube family. I want to welcome you to our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. This is your host for today, Apostle Nathaniel Leon. I'm so glad you're with us. I believe that there is a season of divine favor that is not coming, but is already here. We are believing and standing upon the word of God that the goodness of God is going to be seen in the land of the living. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for letting me know where you're watching from. I'm going to ask you to do that work of the evangelist, if you would, share the podcast. So good to see you, Sister Melissa. Thank you for being with us. If you'll let us know where you're joining from, we believe God is going to minister directly to you at the point of your need. It's an amazing Wednesday, and we are excited about this new season that God has. We are in the halfway month of June, and there are some specific things that are moving toward you, moving toward your family, moving toward your household, and I look forward to sharing them with you. So I'm going to give you just a minute to join in. Let us know where you're watching from, and do that work of the evangelist, as I ask you always to do. Let us know where you're watching from so we can pray for that region. I believe that we are called to be the ecclesia, and one of the things ecclesia must do by the power of his grace is be light in the midst of darkness. So good to see you. Love to worship. Welcome. Thank you to the podcast. Sister Nikki, thank you for being with us. Good to see you. DJ B, thank you for joining. Sister Lisa, the Lord bless you. I'm welcoming Sister Eunice. So good to see you. Sister Mehdi, so good to see you, Pastor Mehdi. Thank you for being with us. The Lord bless you and your ministry. I'm going to give you just a minute, if you would, again, to do that work of the evangelist, to share the podcast, let somebody know we're on, and we're going to ask God to add grace to today's word. We believe there's a word in due season for you, that as we share the word of the Lord, as we speak the word of truth, the Bible says we're sanctified by that word, we're separated, we're put, set apart for his glory, for his plan, and for his power. So if you would do us a favor very quickly, right before we get ready to pray into this, if you'd go ahead and hit that share button, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, let somebody know we're on. We believe God is going to speak directly through this podcast and be a blessing to many lives in the kingdom of God. So if you could do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. We're going to get right into a moment of prayer, and then we're going to ask God to add grace and power and favor to the word of the Lord. So if you pray with me, Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We ask you to open up the eyes of our understanding. We pray that the grace of your presence would rest upon every hearer today, that eyes would be seen, that hearts would discern, that ears would be unstopped to know the truth of your word. I pray that the anointing of your presence would destroy the yoke and remove the burden, that every opposition, every resistance, every enemy that's seeking to stop the word of God, we break it now. Pray with me, if you can, open your mouth and just begin to release the word of the Lord. Rabba, ser rabamde, itarabamde. We declare that every enemy is broken, every obstacle is stopped and rebuked, and the purpose of God is prevailing in the lives of the men and women of God. We ask you for wisdom and revelation to flow and to release in our hearts and minds the goodness of God in the land of living. Speak to your people. Open up the wisdom, open up the mind of God, and let truth be seen in the inner man. I pray that every resistance would be broken, that every spirit of infirmity, pray with me now, every spirit of weariness, every spirit of opposition and frustration and confusion would be bound up by the power of your word, and that you would get glory through every decree today. I ask you for an open heaven now. If you'll pray with me for a moment, I ask you for the kingdom of God to manifest on this podcast, that everything that's sought to stop and to hold and to resist these men and women would be rebuked by the power of the blood of Jesus. Speak to our hearts and minister to our spirits that which is good, that which is true, and that which is living. I pray that the wisdom of your mind would be made clear today, and that you would get glory and that you would get honor in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen and amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, one more time to share this podcast. And I believe that as you do share the word of the Lord, God is adding grace to your account. that as we share the good news of Jesus, somebody may hear the word that may not be able to hear that word. And I believe that as we hear the word of God, life comes. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the word of God is alive and full of power. It is quick and powerful. The word quick means living. So when the word of God comes in, it brings what was broken back into healing. It brings what was lost into a place of purpose, destiny, fulfillment, and to know where they're to go. When something was dead, it comes back to life. When something was sick, it's healed because of the word of God. So let me encourage you, the word of God is powerful. And when you share that word, there's nothing impossible for them that believe. We're going to go right to our scripture for today. We're going to the book of Romans. This is our key verse. And the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 21. We're going to continue on what we were teaching last weekend. And we believe, or last Wednesday, we're talking about creation and God manifesting in and through creation. You were made for glory. I was made for glory. As a fish was made for water, as a bird needs to soar in the sky, as a plant dies the moment you pluck it out of the earth, so does man and creation long for the glory of God. A star, when a star begins to fall from heaven, it begins to die. Let's read, because the creature itself, everything in creation shall be delivered, excuse me, from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God. Let me encourage you, God wants to bring liberty and freedom to a generation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We read this last week, and all that was created was made to be filled with the glory of God. We read Habakkuk chapter 2, and we read about the earth, or we read the book of the prophets that says the knowledge of the glory will cover the earth the way the waters cover the sea. So earth was made for the glory. Man was made for the glory. Here is a verse we're going to look at. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. I'm going to read this to you. Here's what your scripture said. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Now, let me give you just a little bit of a different translation. Romans 3, verse 23. They can put that up for us. The book of Romans, chapter 3, and verse 23. Romans 3, for all have sinned, the scripture says, and come short of the glory of God. I want to tell you, the word sin is it's used, two words are mainly used in the New Testament, harmatia and harmatano. Harmatia and harmatano. One means offense. One means to offend, to trespass, to commit transgression against the law, to offend, right? And the other word is to miss the mark. Now, they're both interchangeable, but when Jesus was walking on the shore of Galilee, the Bible says that the scripture tells us that God, through the prophet of God, through John the Baptist, said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the offense of the world. Bless you, Brother Daniel. So good to see you. Sister Denise, so good to see you. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the offense of God. Now, let me encourage you. Man does now not go to hell for sin as we know it. Man doesn't go. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, the offense of the world, the offense to have offense because of trespass, the law we could not keep, Jesus fulfilled. So when man dies and does not know the Lord, they don't necessarily go to hell because of lying and stealing and murdering and pillaging and the things we find contrary to the law. What I interpret, man goes to hell because they did not accept the finished work of Jesus. I don't go to hell. If a man goes to hell, if a woman doesn't make it into the pearly gates, the price has been paid. So the sin of the offense is they did receive Jesus. They didn't make him Lord and Savior. Their names were never written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So let me encourage you, the offense has been paid for. But here is what the other word is, harmatia or harmatano, which means to miss the mark, the bullseye. Let me encourage you, you were made for the bullseye. Now, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned, all have missed the mark. All this word here, is the word harmatano, to miss the mark. You miss the target. What is the mark? It is a target. Now, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me encourage you to the sin of humanity is living short of the glory. You were never made to live outside of the glory. You were made to live forever. You were never made to be broke. You were never made to be bound. You were never made to be confused. You were never made to be sick. You were never made to die. Man was made to live forever. Again, Genesis 1, verse 26, they're going to put this up. The Bible says man was made in the image of God. Genesis 1, verse 26, man was made in the image of God after his likeness for the purpose of dominion. Man was made to rule the earth the way God rules the heavens. He's God's reflection in the earth. And when man fell, he left the ruling position and now became a slave to the creation he was made to rule. He said, we're going to make man in my reflection, in my image. And then we're going to make them in my similitude, just to operate. Now, how does God work? He uses his words. A king lives by his words. God lives by word. In his word is power. How does God heal? According to the book of Psalms, I sent my word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. You see, there's a story in your New Testament of a non-covenant man who was a centurion. We don't know the name of this centurion. Some believe he was Cornelius. We don't know that to be true or not, but this man named Cornelius was a man under authority. The scripture says he was a man under authority, and he would say to one, come, and it came, and go, and he would go. This man was a man under authority. You see, miracles happen when we understand authority. I'm going to talk to you about this in just a moment. Miracles happen when we understand authority. Let's go to the book of, moving over back to the book of Matthew. See, God wants us to walk in authority. God wants us to walk in great faith. The Bible says this man had great faith more than all of Israel. God wants you to live in that kind of supernatural faith. Matthew chapter 8, going down to verse number, we'll start, let's go down to verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. All right, Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5. Great faith gives you access to a great God. I want to encourage you, no matter what your situation is, the moment God enters your situation, it must turn around. Let me encourage you, God is the God of the turnaround. That's why one of the words for praise is to turn or axle. So praise turns things. This is why we're praising God, not for where we are. We're praising him for who he is. So great faith allows God to make your situation be transformed. Need doesn't move God, but faith does. Let me read this to you. Here is a place where the Bible says, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, now this word Capernaum means the village of comfort, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. We don't know the name of this man. Again, some believe him to be Cornelius, but the scripture says, he said, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. Now the word palsy is the word paralytic or disabled. He is in a disabled state of infirmity. He is under torment. Now the word grievous means vexed. He's under vexation. He's under disability, but he's moving in the, according to this declaration, he is in torment. Verse number six says torment. That word torment is proving it's infirmity, vexation. He's in grievous pain. He's sick. He's in need of help. The doctors can't help him. You know, the medicine cannot help him. There's nothing anybody can do. We need a miracle. Have you ever been there? Verse number seven says, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. There's only two places in the New Testament that Jesus ever ministered to anyone that was not Jewish. or of the covenant of Abraham, the lost sheep of Abraham. And that is found in this place where he ministers to the centurion man and the Syrophoenician woman. And both of them display something in the spirit that is supernatural. Keep reading. He said, I'm going to come. I'm going to lay my hands on him. I'm going to heal them. Here's what the scripture says. All right. Verse number 8. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Now, this is an understanding of the kingdom. I'm going to give you this next verse. I'm coming back to verse 9. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, the word marvel means to wonder, to be surprised, to be shocked. See, this thing surprised Jesus. Now, how many understand Jesus is God? See, faith moves God. But this kind of faith he had never seen in all of Israel. This kind of faith moved him because this man understood authority. When you understand authority, you can access the kingdom of God. Man was made to live by his words like a king. And so Jesus is showing an example of how we're meant to live. Here is what Jesus said, verse 10, and Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great in all of Israel. This is the greatest demonstration of faith I have ever seen in my life. He's 30 some plus years now, 33, 32, we don't know exactly, but he's in his ministry. And this statement, understanding, I don't need your presence, just give me your word. Man was made to live by his words. He was made in the similitude of God. And when man fell, he was kicked out of the garden or the kingdom of paradise, the kingdom of abundance. And now he's living by the sweat of his brow. He's living under a curse when he's meant to be a ruler. He's meant to be a king. Let me encourage you listening. You're meant to live by your words. The first thing the Holy Ghost will change when you are baptized. The word baptizo means submerged, completely so. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost is your tongue, your language. The ability to articulate is your language because you're a king. You're not made to live by sweat. You're not made to live by your brow. You're not made to live by your own efforts. Man was made to walk in the glory. I'm going to say this again. Man was made to walk in the glory. The scripture says that Moses sinned in the eyes of God because he failed to glorify God. Scripture tells us, I'm going to show you now in a moment, that there came a moment when millions of people, up to 6 million people, we don't know exactly how many they were, they needed water. And the Bible says Moses, his servant, refused to speak to the rock. He decided, I'm going to use my rod. He decided, I'm going to do it the way I do it. Okay, now we appreciate Moses. He gave us the law. We appreciate his deliverance, but he would not speak to the rock. He wanted to strike the rock. I'm going to show you now in a moment. If you'll go there to the book of in Numbers, I'm going to take you there. Here's what the scripture says. He refused to speak to the rock. Go down to Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. All right, we're going to Numbers chapter 20 now. Moses had a disability. He wasn't a perfect man. He had an anger issue. And eventually that anger cost him greatly. Let me encourage you. None of us are perfect, but God is looking for us to move to perfection, as the word calls it, in maturation. He wants us to become mature. All right. And we're going to Numbers chapter 20. And going to start at verse. We'll start at verse number 9. Numbers 20, verse 9. Here is a story. And this is an instance where they were lacking water. It happened multiple times. And Moses, Numbers chapter 20, verse 9, Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said, hear now, you rebels, must I now fetch water again from the rock. Now, again, doesn't sound like Moses is in a very good mood. He's rebuking them harshly. The Bible says, and Moses lifted his hand, and with his rod, he struck the rock twice, and water came out abundantly. So it still worked. And the Lord spoke to Moses, because you did not believe me, because you did. I'm in Numbers 20, 12 now. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the children of Israel into the land of promise. So what's taking place here? In a previous time, the Bible says they needed water, and God gave Moses permission to hit the rock and water would flow. That was an order. That was fine. You can only strike the rock once. I'll say that again. You're only allowed to strike the rock once. One striking, one bruising. The word strike is to crush. There's a crushing taking place. There's a breaking taking place. Moses strikes the water, water comes out. The next time they come to this situation, the Bible says, God says, Moses, I don't want you to strike the rock this time. Number says, I want you to speak to the rock, and the water of God, the rivers of living water, are going to come out of the rock for the glory of the Lord. I want you to speak to the rock, and I want you to declare the word of the Lord. And before their eyes, go back to Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. This is the instruction that Moses did not fulfill, because Moses had a speech impediment. He could not talk well. And so God didn't want to use Moses's rod, his strength, what he used before. He wanted to use his weakness. You see, if you remember in Exodus, the Bible says God is getting ready to use Moses. And Moses says, I can't talk well. I'm not a man of great speech. So God says, you're going to use Aaron for a little while as your mouthpiece. I'm not going to get into that. But the Bible says, I'm going to allow you a time. And God is using this rod for 10 years, 20 years. He stretches the rod and the ocean opens. He stretches the rod, and the Bible says that that miracles begin to happen. He lifts the rod and puts a bronze snake around it, and people are healed. So he's using this rod year after year. Now God says, leave your rod alone. I want you to talk to the rock. Verse number 7 of Numbers 20, verse number 7, of Numbers 20, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod and gather the assembly, thou and Aaron your brother, and now speak ye under the rock in front of their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and that will bring forth them water out of the rock. So shall you give the congregation to drink. So God says, I need you to graduate, Moses. Here's what I need. I need you to talk to the rock, and the rock is going to obey you. Listen by the Holy Ghost. You were made to talk to things. You were made to speak to things. The power of life and death is in your tongue. And when you decree a thing, it's going to be established. Verse 11, jump down again. And Moses lifted his hand, and he struck the rock, not once, but twice. And water still came out. The anointing still worked, but he didn't do it God's way. And the Bible says, because you did believe me not, verse 12, and you didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. So, Lord, what does that mean that you were not sanctified when Moses wouldn't talk? He said, I made man in my image. I made Moses in my likeness. I made you to reflect me. And when you refuse to speak in authority, you do not glorify me. See, the word glory is the fullness. The Old Testament is the word kabod. The New Testament is the word doxa, where we get the word doxology, worship, or orthodox order. Worship that releases God's order, the way God made it. It's also the Greek word opinion, God's decision, God's mind. God made you to speak to oceans. You're getting quiet on me now. God made you to say to the mountain, be removed, and it will obey you. God said, God made you to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cast out devils. God made you in his image, in his likeness, to live in the glory of God. You're not made to live from the scraps from the master's table. You're made for dominion. You're made for power. You're made for victory. You're made to tell the devil to go back to hell, because you got authority. You got dominion. The power of life and death is in your tongue. So sin, missing the mark, Romans 3:23, is living beneath the glory. The glory is the full potential, the full capacity. Now, if you've got a sports car, you may have a normal car like a Honda. You may have a normal car like a Civic, which is fine, a Toyota. But there are sports cars, and certain sports cars can exceed 250, 220, 280 miles per hour. It's an insane amount of speed, but there is something called a speed limit, 80 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour. That's the maximum. Now, there's a place in the world, I believe it's called the Autobahn. I believe it's in Germany, where there is no speed limit. You can go as fast as you want in the Autobahn. Bless you, Juanita. Good, so good to see you. Bless you, Mary. So good to see you. Thank you for joining again. Thank you for being with us. And there's no limit. You can go as fast as you want, and they drive crazily there. But let me encourage you, follow the speed limit. But the potential of the vehicle could be 180 miles an hour, 150 miles an hour, but it's limited by the laws of the land to not go more than 70. Mainly in California, it's 70 miles per hour. And if you exceed that, you break the law of man. Now, obey the law of man. I'm not against that. But the potential is 180. The potential is 200. See, the potential is heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. The potential is tell the devil to go back to hell where he belongs. The potential is declare a thing and I will establish it. The potential is nothing is impossible to them that believe. The potential is ask in my name and I will do it, that the Father would get glory in the sons of God. You were made in the image of God, in the likeness, for the purpose of dominion. You were made to walk in the glory. All of creation is waiting for Moses, God's chosen generation. Now, 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, we're going to go there. Moses means chosen. Moses means picked, handpicked. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. You've been handpicked, sir. Ma'am, you've been handpicked. You've been chosen by God for dominion, for rulership, to live by your words. If you're being ministered to, please hit the share. I want to encourage you. There are those on the line. The enemy is trying to get us in deception, to tell us we're not good enough, to tell us we're not strong enough, to tell us we're never going to make it, to tell us things are never going to turn around. But I want to tell you, that devil is a liar. You are God's son. You are God's daughter, and you were picked to change the world. You were chosen by God to be a light in the midst of darkness. You are salt and light. Light has one job, expel the darkness. I said light has one job, send the darkness back to hell. Light, the job of light is to illuminate and to shine and to expel the darkness. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise and shine, for your light has come. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he said, now you are the light of the world. Do not put your light under a bushel. Don't put it under a cup. Don't cover it up, but let your light shine before men, according to Matthew 15, that they may see your good works. Light has to shine and to expel the darkness. Send the darkness out of this earth realm. You've got authority. How can I do this? Number one, you believe what God said about you. What made, if you would go back very quickly, I'm going back to the book of Matthew. The Bible says this man was a man under authority. Matthew chapter 8, here's where we were. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. In order to operate in authority, you've got to be under authority. I said this last week. I'm going to say it to you again. Miracles, signs, and wonders are about to increase in this moment, in this season, in this time. God is loosing the anointing for signs and wonders and miracles the way we've never seen before. And the key to miracles, signs, and wonders is delegated authority. God gave you his name, which is his nature, his character, his identity, but also his authority. When the police officer, he may be right, he may be on, you've ever seen a police officer and they're at the beach and they have a bicycle, they have bicycle police officers in California. I don't know if they have them anywhere else. I've seen them. They've got police officers in New York that ride horses. They've got police officers that ride motorcycles. Everyone's seen those. They've got police officers that ride vehicles and cars, right? And some of them have, I've seen even like Corvette style speedsters. So they can catch. So there's different kind of vehicles. Now, a police officer can go behind you and turn his lights on. And if you're at a stop, and he can be in a bicycle, and you could be in a Hummer, you could be in a tank, you could be in a truck, and your bike has, your truck has the power to outrun that bicycle. Your truck has the power to accelerate and to bulldoze that bicycle. But there's something the officer has behind him that when those lights turn on, you better pull yourself over. He's got something called delegated authority. The badge is something called delegated authority. And behind the officer is a whole squad of police. There's a whole team of other officers. And behind the squad of officers is a county of sheriffs. And behind the sheriffs is a country of the United States and an army behind that badge. So the whole authority of the kingdom or the nation is behind that badge when they say pull over. You may have more dunamis. Now, there's two words, dunamis and the word exousia. Now, in the flesh, in the natural, the devil has more power than us. He's made a more powerful being as a fallen creature. But in Christ, you're not coming in your name. You're coming in God's name. See, the devil shouldn't move in our power, but he'll move in the power of the authority of the name of Jesus. And this is something called delegated authority. Here is what Matthew chapter 8, verse 9, we read it earlier. This centurion was a military man. This centurion had soldiers under his authority. This centurion would say something, and he knew the power of a decree in a kingdom. He understood the kingdom better than everyone in his generation who was actually Jewish. They have the scriptures, they have the word, they have the covenant, but they didn't have understanding. Verse 9, the centurion said, I'm a man under exousia. This is the key. He said, I'm under authority, but then I've got people under my authority. In order to be in authority, you got to be under authority. People don't like that, but that's the word of God. Demons don't obey my name. Demons obey the name of Jesus. And I can come in delegated authority. He said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. So I'm under authority. I'm in Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. I'm under authority, but I've got those under my authority. The key to the people under your authority is the kind of authority you recognize and honor. Are you under delegated authority? God said this to me last week as I was praying. I saw your children. I saw your nephews. I saw people under your authority being affected and being blessed because you're submitted to God-ordained authority. And that's not just God alone. It's mainly God. But there are those who God has given you as your authority to submit yourself to. This is not just a word about authority. This is a word about how you operate in power. And the key to this soldier's authority in demonstration was his submission. Submission gives you power because you become a part of a chain of command. Now, if an officer uses his authority outside of its delegated prescription, he will have that authority removed or revoked by an authority over that officer. So they've got police officers. They've got I don't know the ranks. I know they got captains and sergeants. There's tiers of authority. The ultimate police officer in America is usually the police chief. He's the head of all of the departments. He's in charge, and he is responsible. He's the head of all that. So the delegated authority of that captain, the delegated authority of that sergeant is under the delegation of the authority of the chief. And so as long as he's using the authority based on the word, based on the law, he has the right to enforce the law, and the kingdom is behind him. But when that officer when that leader, we pray for officers. We love, we've got police officers in our church. We pray. We are pro-blue and we're pro-black and we're pro-yellow. We're not against anybody in the name of Jesus. We are for life and kingdom truth. But when anybody uses authority outside of the law, they are now subject for correction or removal of authority. Are you listening to me? Let me make this sense. God said, you're a king. You're a ruler. You're made to walk. He said, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So how was he able to pull on this level of power out of Jesus? He understood authority. Dunamis is ability. Let me encourage you by the Spirit. You were made for dunamis. You were made for miracles. Bless you, Sister Mary. Bless you, Brother Marco. The Lord bless you, man of God. A man under authority is one that has a right to step in authority. A woman under authority has a right to walk in authority. The key to your authority is the authority you are under. You were made to speak to things. Here is what Romans 8:21 says. All of creation is suffering from wrong authority. Romans 8:21, let's read it again. Romans chapter 8, I'm not gonna be too long today, I wanna pray with you. Romans chapter 8, going over to verse 21, everything created, the scripture says, is gonna go through something called deliverance. All right, this is the word eleutherio, to make free, to set at liberty from the dominion of sin. To deliver, to make free, to be brought into freedom. So creation, when Adam fell, who was the delegated authority in the garden? Adam. Second was the woman of God, the woman. Third was all of creation, the children. And this was God's delegated authority. So when the woman ate the tree, nothing happened. It didn't mean she didn't have any place. The authority of the garden was Adam. Now, when Adam ate of the wrong knowledge, he obeyed the wrong voice, stepped out of delegated authority, and then now fell and became a slave to the ground he was meant to rule. And this is important because we have missed it as a church. We preach we're headed to heaven, and I'm not against heaven, and I'm going, but I ain't staying. I was not made for heaven. I was made for dominion in the earth. I'm going to show you in a moment again, and nothing wrong with heaven. We're going, we've got loved ones there, but they're coming back. They're not going to stay there. They're not made for, see, Revelation 5, verse 10, they can put it up. And I've made you kings unto God and priests, and you will rule and reign upon the earth realm. Man was made for dominion in the earth realm. They were made to rule this planet the way God rules the heavens. God made it for us. When God got here, when he made the word, the scripture says, he made earth and heaven. It was void. It was dark. It was chaotic. And the Bible says God's spirit moved upon the face of the earth. Then God started talking to the earth. Go there. Go there with me. Genesis 1, you see, you are made in God's image. How did God make the heaven and the earth? With his words, with the power of his words. And this is why the enemy wants us to be loose with our tongues. By your words, you will be justified, Jesus said, and by your words, you will be condemned. Every word is the release of a spirit. John 6:63, I'm quoting it. Stay in Genesis 1, verse 1. John 6:63 says, the flesh profits nothing. The spirit gives life. The words I speak are spirit and life. So words are spirit. Every time you open your mouth, you release spirit. What kind of spirit? Proverbs says it can be life spirit or it can be death spirit. And the condition of the heart causes the mouth to speak. And this is what God is trying to heal internally, mentally, emotionally. So God creates a heaven and earth. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, and the earth had no formation. The earth was not formed. It was not designed yet. It had not been developed. It was created, but not yet formed. Like a baby is created, but in the womb, it takes time to form. When the seed and the egg come together, it's called conception. before conception is inception. Inception, there's inception, what was before the womb. Then there's conception, what was in the womb. And then there's formation in the womb. And then there's reception. You now receive in the earth what was formed in the spirit. Whole nother teaching. Verse number 2, the earth had no formation, therefore it was void. Until we are formed into the image and the likeness of the Son of God, we will be purposeless. See, Jesus was not an example for you. Jesus was an example of you. I'll read it and say it again. He's what you're to look like. He's what you're to talk like. You were made, according to Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the reflection of the Son. Romans 8:29 says, who he foreknew, he preordained. He knew us before. This is called inception. It was what was before. It was before time. It was in. Then there's conception, when the seed and the egg come together, when the seed, the word, and the womb come together. He's the word. I'm the womb. I carry a womb, even though I'm a man. I know I'm a man. Praise God. There's no confusion here. Praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Masculine, male, female, feminine. God made us, but I carry a spiritual womb. You carry a spiritual womb. Made in his image. This seed. Now there's a formation inside of 9 months of this baby. Now, once the baby goes through formation and it's developed, then it can be moved into reception. You could receive in the earth what was formed and what was in seed. Are you listening to me? Genesis chapter 1, the earth had no form. Therefore, it was purposeless. That word void is the word purposeless. Without purpose, void is the Hebrew word bohu, but it looks like boohoo, like you're crying. Amen. We're weeping when we're not formed. We're existing, but we're not with formation. We're not developed. We're not mature. We're not living in integrity and character and purity and righteousness, in faithfulness. The 9 fruits of the Spirit are emotional states of being that must govern your thoughts and your speaking and your concepts and your decrees, so that the 9 gifts of the Spirit demonstration can flow through you. So it's the word emptiness or wastefulness. The earth had no form, therefore it was purposeless and wasted. Verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 1, therefore darkness was on the face of the deep. The face of the deep, or all of God's creation, was under darkness. The deep was covered by darkness, the depths, the abyss. Then the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. God saw the darkness, saw the chaos, saw the abyss, saw the emptiness, saw the void. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the darkness and started speaking to it. In the name of Jesus, you will live and not die. In the name of Jesus, my children will be well. In the name of Jesus, your family is going to be saved. In the name of Jesus, your house is going to overflow. In the name of Jesus, in the authority, the delegated authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're going to walk in power. You're going to walk in kingdom. Now, nothing wrong with, we must take that names onto ourselves. But who did Jesus send to you? Who has God commissioned you to be under their authority? Who is your pastor? Getting quiet now. Who is your apostle? I've got nobody over me but Jesus. Well, God help you, because you didn't hear this message on your own. God sent them to you, and he that receives them receives him that sends him. Then, once you receive him that sent, and there is formation, development, and growth, then they can send you. Now you're sent because you received the one God sent you. See, the devil sends people to you. God sends people to you. How do you know which one is which? You got to hear the Holy Ghost. See, God is sending people to you. I'm going to say this again. God is sending people to you. When God sends you somebody, you must receive them. And when you do, you receive him that sent him. Then you receive. See, Jesus said, I'm about to send y'all. I'm sending you. Now, if they receive you, they receive me. And if they receive me, they receive him that sent me. This is called delegated authority. Well, you know, I don't like you. I want to go around you and I want to go to the source. It don't work that way. The kingdom of God, now it doesn't mean you can't go through them to greater, but to go around the door, the Bible says, is a thief and a robber. See, men and women are doorways. They're not destinations. Jesus said, I'm the door. Jesus himself didn't say, I'm the destination. Though I would say, Lord, you're all I want. You're everywhere I want to go. He said, no, I'm the door. John 10:10, Jesus said, John 10 verse 9, he said, I am the door, and by me you can come in. Men of God, women of God are doorways to greater dimensions and greater destination. Well, I don't need nobody but God. Something wrong with you, sir. Something wrong with you, ma'am. You're wounded. And the problem and what happens when you do not receive who God sent you correctly, you go no further. You bear no more fruit. You stay at the same dimension. But I declare that is not your season. That is not your portion. That you will discern who God sent to you. And you will understand the power of delegated authority is coming in authority that was delegated to me through number one God, Galatians 4 and verse 1. But also, who is my earthly authority? Galatians chapter 4. So God spoke to the earth and recreated it with his words. That is your destiny. The earth is going to be delivered from the bondage of wrong authorities, wrong delegated authorities. They weren't delegated by God. They came from devils and demons. But Galatians chapter 4, then we're going back to Romans and we're going to conclude. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Let me encourage you. You're going to walk in a level of authority you've never walked in. You're going to walk into a level of dominion you've never walked in. God is not, Lord, and I'm afraid. Listen, hear me by the Spirit. God isn't trying to control you. God is trying to liberate you. And freedom comes from submission. Write it down. File it in your spirit. God is not trying to control you. God don't want a puppet. Your submission is not you being controlled by God. Your submission is you being liberated by God. You're submitted and there's freedom in submission. No, I want to do whatever I want. I want to drink what I want. I want to smoke what I want. This world is riotous. That is not freedom to destroy myself, to drink and eat and smoke and lie and live. And it's to do whatever I will. That's not freedom. Freedom isn't doing whatever you want. We're going to be celebrating In America, 4th of July, it's Liberty Day, a day of freedom. And liberty is not to destroy yourself. God didn't give me freedom. I got children. You got children. Liberty is not them being able to smoke and being able to pollute themselves and do drugs. Oh, they've got freedom because they can smoke what they want. They've got freedom because they can watch what they want. They've got freedom so they can do drugs whenever they want. That's not liberty. That is chaos and self-destruction. Liberty is a byproduct of submission. You find freedom in submission to God and God-ordained authority. Write it down. See, the only way these demons left is that these disciples were under delegated authority. It was delegated. It was passed to them. It was imparted to them. And they went in that authority. Now, if you step out of that authority, you lose the power that should follow the authority. Here is what Galatians 4 verse 1 says, the heir, you and I are inheritors of God. We have not just an earthly inheritance, listen by the Holy Ghost. I know you're struggling. I know we've gone through. We're needing this. We're needing that. You have an inheritance. It's more than silver and gold. It is the glory of God. It is the God who makes gold with his words. It is the God with streets of gold and walls of jasper. It is the God who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all, everything. The earth, according to Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everything in it are God's. It's all God's, right? It's his. The earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, it's God's. He's delegating it to us. And God wants to, he's making you an inheritor. An heir is one who will inherit after maturation. This is called the trust. And the Bible tells us that the trust of God is unlocked when we mature. See, they can, you can have a rich uncle, a rich father. He leaves you billions of dollars, but says not until you're 21 years old, not until you're married with children, not until, and he puts all of these stipulations to get your inheritance. He says, I need you to just live righteous. I need you to live holy. I need you to be submitted. I need you to die to yourself. If you die, I'll give you the glory of your inheritance, which is more than money. It's signs, it's miracles, it's healing. It's everything that God is and everything that God has manifested in your life and on your children. That's your inheritance. But here's what Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, the heir, as long as he is immature, is no different than a slave, a servant. Now, this isn't a good connotation, like I'm a servant of God. This is a slave who will not grow to maturity, who should have their inheritance. We're living like slaves. We're living like those underneath the law instead of under grace. We're living outside of our inheritance, dying sick and living sick and dying poor and living broken. God, I want you to come higher. The heir, as long as he is a child, immature, it's no different than a servant, even though he is Lord of all. The heir is Lord of all. Well, where's this? Where's that in the Bible? What does the Bible say we're heirs? Romans 8 tells us, verse 16, that we are heirs of God. If we are children, if his spirit bears witness, Romans 8, verse 16, let me read this to you. The spirit gives testimony, evidence, proof. See, you read the Bible. The Bible is in a court setting in heaven. There is a prosecutor, which is the accuser of the brethren. There's an advocate, which is Jesus, who stands at the right hand of the throne, makes intercession for us. There's a righteous judge of the world. So we're in a court setting. The Bible is a legal document. It's the law of God. The blood of Jesus is making justification. These are legal terms. Prayer is the word petition. It is you're making a petition to the court. You're making a legal injunction to the court. That's prayer, petition. It's a legal term. So in order for you to get your inheritance, there's got to be evidence. You know, you got to have the proof positive. The DNA results are in. You are the father. Verse number 16, it bears witness that we are the children, the inheritors of God. We are the offspring of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Remember, you're not going to inherit what God has. You're going to inherit God. You're going to get all of God and all that he has. He wants to give it to you. But we're now joint heirs with Jesus. Means everything Jesus has, you have. If so be we suffer with him. Does suffering bring you with him or away from him? Do you draw closer to God in those persecution moments, in those testing moments, or do you draw further from God? Does your trial push you closer to your knees, or does it push you out the door to your old habits? I'm just asking you, because God says, if you suffer with him, you will be glorified also. Go back to Galatians 4, verse number 1, the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different than a servant, even though you are Lord of all. That sounds weird. I grew up in church. I mean, Jesus is Lord of all. Praise the Lord. And all the sinners got all the money. Jesus is Lord of all, and the church don't have nothing. Jesus is Lord. He owns it all. He owns the cattle, and the church can't even pay the rent. The church can't even buy property. The church can't even take care of the widow and the homeless. Why? Because we don't understand the concepts, the precepts, the word of God. Hear me by the Spirit. You are called to walk in glory, walk in authority, walk in dominion. You're called to walk in supernatural power by the Spirit of grace. Jesus is Lord of all. Let me encourage you. Go back, but also Galatians chapter 4 says you are Lord of all because you're a joint heir. That means everything he owns, you now own. A joint heir is a co-account holder. And everything in the account is both of ours. So we're joint heirs with Jesus and inheritors with God. I'm just about done. Here's what the scripture says. I'm just about done. God wants you to walk in this abundance. I'm going to finish this. Romans 8. Oh, go back to Galatians, but is under tutors. Galatians 4, verse 2. I'm going to read this to you again. Here's what it said, Galatians 4, verse 2. But it's under, hupo, under, submitted to, under authority, submitted to governors. Governors, the managers of the household, oikonomos, 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 the governors of the household, the governors, the Bible says, and the tutors. The word tutors is the word epitropos, one to whose care anything is instructed, guardian. This is also overseer. Now, if you can be translated this many ways, I've translated tutor is the Holy Spirit. He wants to teach you. And governor is an earthly authority that God gave you. An earthly authority, your pastor, your leader, your apostle, whoever they are, wives, your husband, children, your parents. These are your guardians in the spirit. They're to guard you and to protect you till you're ready. I'm ready. No, you don't know when you're ready. You don't have that information. It's not for you to say when you're ready. It's up to the one who God put over you. God wants you to realize this. They're not to destroy. If they love you, they're not to destroy you. They're to help you. They're to pray with you. And at the right time, the Bible says, it's under tutors and governors until the appointed time. And God told me, if the tutor is the Holy Ghost and the governor is the earthly authority, God said this to me. He said, son, if they're not obeying the governors, they're not obeying the tutors. They're not obeying the Holy Ghost. They're not listening. Until the appointed time of the Father. The word appointed time is the set time, the beforehand prearranged destiny moment of the Father. God has it for you. God has it for me. I'm done. Our last verse, which we started at, is Romans 8. The creation itself, everything created is going to be set free from the slavery. The slavery systems of corrupted leadership, authority that is corrupted in governments, authority that is corrupted in states, in capitals, in nations, in business, in education, in churches, corrupted government. God is going to deliver from the bondage of corruption into glorious freedom of the sons and daughters of God. I've got to pray for you. You're under the sound of my voice. Let me encourage you, you were made for rulership. You were made for dominion. You were made to be the heads and not the tails. You were made to decree things and it come to pass. The power of your authority you walk in and you exercise, that things come under your authority. Things come under your dominion. Doors come under your power. You walking in dominion is directly related to the authority you're under. Under authority. It's not, you know, it's not an easy shouting one, but listen to me. I'm telling you this because God is showing you, because the next level of your miracle anointing is going to increase power, influence, victory, doors, favor, abundance. God is going to release this over your life. Let me pray with you. God, I pray over every man and woman under the sound of my voice. I decree by the Spirit, show us, God, who you sent to us. I'm praying now. Lord, show the people who you sent to them, who you commissioned them, who you sent them to them, God, for an answer. And I pray that these men and women would be like the centurion man. They would understand authority. They would be under authority, but they would also move in authority. That they would say to some, go, and they go, demons, devils, powers. And they would say, some come, and they come. The Holy Ghost, the miracles, let them come. They would be men and women of divine order. They would set captives free. And as they step and we step into delegated authority, we will bring the earth under subjection. We were called to bring the earth under subjection. You're going to go out and subdue the earth. You're going to bring it under Genesis 1:28. He blessed them. He said, multiply, be fruitful, fill the earth. Subdue the earth. You're going to subdue the earth. You're going to bring it under the authority of Jesus, because you are a man or woman in authority, but also under authority. I pray these men and women be well. All of us have suffered with unjust authority. All of us have went through this. But you will not throw out the baby with the bathwater. You will not misinterpret your God-ordained authority now from the authority that hurt you in the past. But you will discern, and then you will walk in a new level of miracles, signs, wonders, healing, provision, and the glory of God. You will walk in it in the name of Jesus. I bless these men now. I cover them now. I speak over their blessing now. I ask you, Lord, be the light in the midst of that darkness and to show us the word of God. I decree in the name of Jesus, all of creation is going to be delivered, set free from the slavery of corrupted leadership into the glory, the doxa that fills the earth of the sons and daughters of God. The glorious freedom, freedom, freedom of the sons and daughters of God. I decree it now. Now, if there's pain, you've got pain in your body, I speak to that pain. I'm going to pray for you now. There's a few of you, we're moving on, but I see there are ailments in the body. The body is coming out of order. I see even physical bodies out of order. It's a sign. God's not mad at you. He's not judging you. But what we sow, we reap. God didn't do this. The law God put, he said, what you sow, you reap. You sow to the spirit, you will reap life. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. God does not judge us. The law God put. When I touch the fire, when I touch the iron, God didn't burn me. The law God put in position burned me. God doesn't do these things. God's a good God. But I want to tell you, what we sow, we reap. I saw bodies out of order. I saw like intestines. I saw like pictures of brains and the blood not flowing correctly. The digestive tract not working. I'm praying for you now. The digestive tract not working right. Getting sick in your stomach and not being able to digest the food well. Very can be an embarrassing thing. God said, I'm going to heal that. And then you don't even tell anybody about that. Conditions in your feet. Blood flow not working right. Not even children disruptive. I saw disorder in the body. But I decree in the name of Jesus, that as these women discern, as these men discern and recognize their God-ordained delegated authority, and as they submit from their heart, not with their lips, not with just their words, as they do it from their hearts, God, I ask you, bring their body back into order. Bring their body back into under authority. Bring their body to flow. Let the blood flow well. Let the mind flow well. Let the lungs flow well. Let the intestines work well. Let the joints and nerves work well. Let the back come into order. In the name of Jesus, he's a God of complete and perfect order. I pray it now in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.